All right, first technical issues. So thank you, Dr. Lindsay, for the introduction. And before we get going, I just really want to take a brief second and thank my co-authors. I thank Dr. Emerson Nassinger, my advisor, for putting up with me and giving me the opportunity to study underneath of him. I thank Dr. Maria Villamel for her many words of wisdom she's given me in the pep talks. And I thank Josh Bonk for all the help in the field and constant talk about statistics and agronomy and life in general. And John Schmidt and Don Kyle, who are my collaborators at Pioneer. So I've also really enjoyed my PhD project. I've been able to work with farmers a lot, which I really enjoy doing. And this is a very grower-focused project that I really think is going to help them make good science-based decisions on their operations. So the rationale for my project. You know, there's been multi-location, multi-year experiments conducted on soybean planting date across the Midwest, and these experiments have concluded pretty much all these experiments have concluded that soybean yield is generally optimized when planted in late April and early May. And if you look at these curves that have been produced, you could come to the conclusion that in general we would expect a 5 to 10% yield increase for 2 to 3 weeks earlier, when you plant soybean 2 or 3 weeks earlier than late May. And at the end of the day, this 5 to 10% yield increase would accumulate to, at 60 bushel soybeans, you would expect to increase your yield about 3 to 6 bushel. And at $10 soybeans, which Josh and I looked up last night on the Illinois River, that's somewhere between $30 and $60 per acre. And that's when you start talking about $60 an acre, $50 an acre, farmers really start paying attention. Because that can help them increase their on-farm profitability as well as increase production, which is one of our goals headed into the decades to come. However, despite the yield increase that can certainly take place, there's some major production barriers to planting soybean early, some real production barriers. Spring weather is by far the biggest production barrier. Between the middle of April and between April 15th and May 15th, there are very few days. There's probably less than half of these days farmers can actually work in the field. And this also happens to be the time when corn yield is optimized. Not only is corn yield optimized at the same general time, but the reduction in yield is more significant for delayed corn planting than it is soybean. And that doesn't appear to change, and it doesn't appear that farmers will start planting their soybeans before corn either, and they probably shouldn't. So that's a severe limitation of planting our soybean earlier. There's also pre-plant anhydrous, spring field cultivation, as well as pre-plant fertilizer or pre-plant herbicide applications. Bottom line is these all compete with soybean planting in about 15 days. So it's extremely difficult to get this done, despite the known yield increase. What are the solutions? The only one I can come up with is bigger, faster, or more planters per farm. But this is a huge decision for farmers. You can get on the internet and go to build your own planter at John Deere, and for a modern planter, you're looking at about $8,000 to $12,000 per 2.5 feet of row. If you use $10,000, simple math would tell you that's a $160,000 investment for a 16-row planter. That's a significant investment. And farmers are not going to make that kind of investment unless they're confident that a practice can increase their bottom line. So that's what my project is about, is increasing their confidence. So I simply hypothesize that early planting, coupled with full-season cultivar maturity selection, will maximize the duration of reproductive development and grain yield. And I think that there's a considerable amount of evidence in some well-managed environments that much of yield can be explained by the duration of reproductive development. However, this has been called into question a little bit recently, but I think that it's an artifact of the environment. But I'm going to stick to my guns and speculate that in my inference space, there's a good relationship between. A lot of yield can be explained by the duration of root perfect development. So my methods, we had two planting dates, one that I'll start calling early and normal. The early planting date, we were targeting the first week in April, or the last week in April, and the second planting date, we wanted about 30 days later. We had 9 site years from 2012 to 14, 2 in Iowa thus far, and 7 in Illinois. I still have a couple locations. I don't have the yield data that I want to include in the data set, but this data set, there's 9 site years total. And at each location, we planted a broad range of cultivars from very early to very late relative to the latitude. And all these locations are what I would consider highly productive corn belt soils. The statistical analysis, we simply used a mixed model, PROC mix and SAS. It was a split plot design. Fixed effects are our whole plot. Was planting date, and the subplots were cultivar maturity as used as a continuous predictor variable, and the random effects were blocks, obviously. Each site year was treated as a block in this case, and replications were nested within a block, so they are effectively treated as subsamples in the model. So I wanted to... That's not good. Wanted to show you this table real quick, just to merely say that I mentioned that our target planting day was April 1st. That didn't always happen, particularly here in 2013. It was extremely wet, which is a problem. As I mentioned earlier in my presentation, they didn't always get in on April 1st, a couple weeks late, but they were about 30 days apart. You can see on average there that these locations are about 30 days apart. And just to reemphasize that these are highly productive environments, they're higher than the national average and higher than Illinois soybean yields as well. So these are highly productive locations. So that would be my inference space that I'm discussing today. So this slide would kind of be the bread and butter of my work. It suggests that there's an interaction between planting dates and cultivar maturity. So here we have this highly significant interaction between planting date and maturity. And the black curve here would be the normal planting date. The red curve would be the early planting date. On the x-axis here, on the y-axis here, I have relative grain yield in kilograms per hectare. Over here, we have bushels per acre. On the x-axis, we have departure from the adapted maturity for each location. And you can see here that the black curve would indicate that at normal planting, or late May to early June planting, while there's a slight increase in yield, the yield is pretty flat regardless of cultivar maturity in general. At the earlier planting date, yield increases until you reach the adapted cultivars, and then it generally plateaus. But the most significant thing about this curve is you can see that the full season cultivars, that yield is not increased with early planting until you reach the well-adapted and full-season cultivars. So here the maximum difference is about 8 bushel, or about 550 kilos, between the full-season cultivars at the early and late date. With the shorter than adapted cultivars, you can see that there's no difference in yield. I'd like to point out that there's a lot of variation here, as you can see. And within these 9 locations, I've seen everything from a negative relationship between cultivar maturity and yield, many sites were positive to flat. So you're not always going to see these curves predicted like this, but in general, that's what we've concluded. Okay, so the deeper question is why is this happening? And the results that I just showed you aligned well with an on-farm experiment I conducted before we started this experiment. So the bigger question is why is this happening? And with this, we have the relative maturity on the x-axis here, and we have the duration in days from R1 to R4 are the seed initiation phases. And you can see here that while planting date increased of the duration of the seed setting phase, but there was not an interaction between cultivar maturity and this phase. So in general, planting earlier increases the seed setting phase regardless of cultivar maturity. So that really doesn't explain what we've seen in the figure. This would tell you that all cultivars would increase their yield with early planting. However, if you look at this figure, this would be the R4 to R7 phase, which would be the seed filling phase, a very important phase in soybean development. And this would be the days spent in that phase, R4 to R7. This again is relative maturity on the x-axis. And you can see here that once you reach the adapted and full lines, that the seed filling period increases with early planting, but at normal planting, the seed filling period is relatively the same for all cultivars. So that would help explain what we see in the yield data. So when we compare earlier versus later planting, cultivars, regardless of their maturity, spent about 9 more days in the flowering and seed initiation phases. The longest 5 maturities, cultivars spent about 4.5 more days in the seed filling phase, R4 to R7. But the shortest 5 maturity cultivars spent about the same time in the seed filling phase, regardless of planting date. So back to my original hypothesis, I suggested that a lot of the variation in grain yield can be explained by the duration of reproductive development. And we have grain yield in kilograms per hectare on the y-axis, and the days during reproductive development, R1 to R7, on the x-axis. And you can see here there is a good relationship between the days spent in reproductive development and grain yield. However, it's predicted to be curvilinear. So while there is a relationship, it starts to plateau when you get out here to these, when you get out here to 90, 100 days in reproductive development, we start to see a plateau. And I would predict that if we had even longer duration of reproductive development, that we would really start to see these yields plateau. There is some variation, no doubt, but these are different locations and different cultivars, and we would expect there to be some variation. So extending reproductive growth generally increased grain yields, but it was in a curvilinear fashion. And the reason why it starts to plateau is that these very full season cultivars at these locations, they just have a lower harvest index. They're not partitioning partitioning assimilate as well to the grain. This is many experiments looking at relative maturity in soybean have concluded this, and I visually can conclude that from my experiments. I did not measure harvest index, but it's pretty apparent in the field, and it's well established in the literature. There's also a tendency toward more lodging with these full-season cultivars. These full-season cultivars end up with more nodes. They just get taller, and they lodge more. And again, I did not measure that, but my observations in the field and these experiments and others would conclude that that would be the case. And they're just, if you're growing reproductively longer or growing longer in general, there's just more time to be exposed to pests and disease. And that can limit productivity. And lastly, it's also well established that as leaves begin to age, there's a natural reduction in their photosynthetic rate. So we would assume that the longer a leaf is photosynthesizing, the more that it would that its photosynthetic rate would be reduced. So, conclusion. Cultivars that are from these experiments, we can conclude that cultivars that are mid-maturity or fuller would respond to early planting, and this is because of an extended seed filling period. But at normal planting dates, we may expect a broad range in cultivars of different maturities at a location to produce similar yields, and that's because they have a similar seed filling period. And I want to thank you for your attention, and I want to thank DuPont Pioneer for partially funding these experiments and for partnering in this research. And if you have any questions after we get down here today, you're more than welcome to email me. My email address is on here, and I appreciate your attention.
One quick question. Anyone?
Yes, sir.
Question on one or two of your graphs, you're looking at seed filling, and on the x-axis you have relative maturity, 2.5 to 4.5 or something. So was that just for selected sites?
Yeah, I meant to specify that when I was looking at that table, John. I apologize. That was only for three of the locations in central Illinois. I was only able to measure detailed phenology measurements at three of the locations in central Illinois, detailed.